Next week, my fellow Americans, next week. It is here, finally. We the people now take over. It is up to us, not the polls, not the press, not the pundits, not the professionals, not the politicians. It is up to us. For one brief shining moment, America, at least to some extent, is ours, to some extent. We decide, if we wish, to the election of thousands of our fellow citizens to govern. Some will, and others will seek to rule us. Perhaps November 8 is the day, the only day when politicians really care about the American people. We become largely irrelevant November 9, for they, the power-hungry, get what they want or not. Either way for them, we matter little thereafter. But step up, my fellow Americans, and flex your political muscles for at least this one day, and be proud. So very, very proud to be an American, a citizen of the greatest country in the world when you enter that voting booth. It has for all Americans, as one pundit so well stated, been an unbelievable circus, this pre-election drama. We have never seen political competition like this one. In the primary voting, in the nominations, in the conventions, and political sparring like we have in 2016. I guess the bottom line of all of that is a great big lesson in character assassination. And so we watch with political fascination the candidacy of avowed socialist Bernie Sanders, and at long last, some real competition to the vested and invested Hillary Rodham Clinton. We have seen the further radicalization of the Democratic Party as a result of Sanders and his followers, and the nomination of a flawed, deceitful, and many think criminal candidate of the Democratic Party for president. We have heard little or nothing about Benghazi, email scandals, or a corrupt and probably illegal nonprofit corporation, not much of anything from the mainstream media, who are very much biased for Clinton. When the Democratic Convention was held in Philadelphia, a billboard sign on a major highway near one of the city's major bridges read as follows. Listen to this. "Don't worry, Hillary. We've got your back." The media. Isn't that interesting? And how true that is. The media has indeed had Hillary Clinton's back, protected her, refused to deal with the issues surrounding her, while she waltzed to the presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. But the media had a field day with Donald Trump. They don't like him. They don't want him to be elected. They saw him as crass, crude, bombastic, and vulgar. Media everywhere was anti-Trump, including and especially the three major networks and their satellite interests. The world knows about his alleged treatment of women, his disrespect for things female, without allegations of impropriety seemingly occurring daily, whether true or not. Reminding so many of Bill Clinton and his affairs, don't you think? And those who came forward, including and especially Monica Lewinsky, when Mr. Clinton was so very properly impeached. The New York Times, once a most respected and objective newspaper, once, came after Trump with a vengeance, whether true or not. Women surfaced from years ago claiming certain sexual assaults by Trump to the delight of the New York Times. It's a shame for me to see such a once great newspaper become a rag, muckraking, deceitful, biased, interested only in advocacy, anti-conservative and Christian in everything, and determined, biased as they are, to do anything possible to see to the election of Hillary Clinton. The New York Times, in my opinion, is nothing but an embarrassment to any right-thinking, objective-thinking American. So we the people are left to get information, quality and objective information, that is, about the parties, the platforms, the politicians, the issues, the real issues affecting us and with which we are concerned from many different sources, including alternative media. We deal with libel and slander. We hear little but character assassination for both candidates from so much of the mainstream media. We have never been able to understand the candidates' thinking, have you? Their platforms or promises with regard to the real issues of the day. We are left with the conclusion that Hillary Clinton is surely leftist, highly progressive, potentially socialist, even radical in her thinking, and will indeed move politics, platforms, and the Democrats to the left even further. It is difficult to understand exactly what Trump thinks and believes. Do you know what he really believes? And consequently, what he will do if he is elected? As a businessman, Trump has played politics for all it is worth, and so often for his own benefit. He has given to and supported so many on both sides. He has changed positions, vacillated in his thinking, and sought his own brand of power, financial power, and his own kind of fame, known the country over for his famous words, "You're fired, you're fired." But each candidate Trump and Clinton stand behind rows of American flags. Each of them do. And they claim to be patriotic Americans and to really care for us when in fact so many Americans really believe neither one does. Many think both Trump and Clinton are liars, unpredictable, self-serving, and all about the power. And perhaps they are. But one of them, in January 2017, will in fact be our President of the United States. So, which one, my fellow Americans, which one? Like the process or the candidates or not, you must, please, you must vote for the good of America. You must vote for the one you think is better for America. The next president will appoint at least 3 new justices to the Supreme Court. If Clinton is elected, the court will be liberal, radically so, for years to come. The average Supreme Court justice serves 26 years on the court, and that court will be liberal in nature with respect to all legislation and policy and issues for the next 3 decades under Clinton. Do you see the way the court is moving even now? Wow, goodbye conservatism. And Trump may very well appoint balanced, fair, even conservative justices who can keep the court balanced at least, or mildly conservative. So, what do you want? Who do you wish to make that critical decision, Clinton or Trump? The next president and the Supreme Court justices appointed will deal with critical constitutional issues, including, and especially, freedom of religion. Boy, that concerns me. Countless cases will come before the Supreme Court. The LGBT agenda will be aggressively pursued. Abortion will always be an issue whenever it is attempted to be controlled. Transgender issues, including bathrooms, among many others, will war against all religions and all religious freedoms. Clinton, it seems, has little or no concern for religious freedoms. At least we haven't heard anything. Trump, on the other hand, promises to protect them. I hope he means it. And Christianity with them. I hope he means that. So, who then, my fellow Americans, do you wish to make these critical decisions? Along with the Supreme Court decisions, Hillary Rodham Clinton, liberal and progressive, or Donald John Trump, probably centrist and perhaps mildly conservative? Which one? The next president and the Supreme Court will deal with guns and gun ownership. The Second Amendment of the Constitution with regard to gun ownership can well be eviscerated with more regulations than ever, and perhaps even the potential, some think, of the outright banning of the ownership of guns by private citizens. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Clinton has no use for the Second Amendment and will do whatever she can to further restrict and regulate the use and ownership of guns. If the Second Amendment matters to you, who should make those critical decisions, Trump or Clinton? Trump pledges to preserve and protect the rights of the Second Amendment. And then there is education. Do we the people go further with Common Core and federal government control? Or do we return more to localism in education, protecting and preserving historical and traditional American views and principles of our history and educational values? Do we? Clinton will champion far greater federal control of education, whereas Trump will probably support more localism. And in fact, Trump has also pledged to be a strong supporter of school choice through voucher programs, something which would indeed aid and abet the inner city poor, who many think desperately need to get their children out of failing schools and into those better run. So, who should make these critical educational decisions, my fellow Americans? Clinton or Trump? And then there is freedom of speech. Now comes the onslaught of hate speech on the one hand and inciting violence on the other. Can you believe that? Hate speech and inciting violence. Such incendiary terminology can apply should one merely declare, as Scripture does, that homosexuality is a sin, or even oppose gay marriage. That's hate speech. The freedom to say such things will be gone. And that may also include a ban on the right to declare non-Christian religions false or untrue. You listening, Islam? Islam claims that all other religions and adherents thereto are infidel. How about that for hate speech? Watch out, Muslims! Surely that would be Islamic hate speech, would it not? And the Catholic Church declares itself to be the only way and means to salvation. Surely that would be incendiary and considered hate speech, would it not? Don't you think so? I think Clinton would think so. Trump, on the other hand, has promised to protect free speech at all costs and without abridgment. Trump has also pledged to repeal the 1954 Johnson Amendment and to restore the freedom of speech and the absolute right of pastors and other Christian leaders in the church to endorse candidates and platforms and take stands on issues. So, who do you want in charge, my fellow Americans, making these critical constitutional decisions when it comes to your right to free speech, Trump or Clinton? It doesn't matter whether you like them or not. At least in these cases, it doesn't matter what they've done in the past. These people will decide for our lives which one is better. And the economy. Clinton has promised more taxes, many more taxes. Trump has pledged to reduce taxes, modify and change the tax code, and otherwise make certain that all things economic build our economy and employment with it. Jobs are so critical, especially for minorities. Do you want Trump to make these economic decisions or Clinton? Which one? National security and foreign policy. Our military has been weakened. We need considerable investment in our armed forces, especially with respect to nuclear capability and defense, and the general defense of this great country. We need to energize our military, which has become so very politically correct in so many ways. We need more aggression and more positioning of America as a leader in the world community rather than a follower. Clinton says little or nothing about Israel, our democratic ally in the Middle East, while Trump has vowed to protect and defend this great little country. So, for you, is it Trump or Clinton making these national security and foreign policy and Israel decisions? Is it Trump or Clinton? One of Hillary Rodham Clinton or Donald John Trump will be the president of the United States in January 2017. May I please continue to remind you of that? That's why you must vote. So which one, my fellow American, will be your president? Some think it to be the waste of a vote to, in fact, vote for a third-party candidate. I've always felt that way. A vote for a Green Party candidate would be a vote taken away from Clinton, while one for Libertarian would be a vote taken away from Trump. The power of the vote, many think, should be used where it has the most impact. Think about that when you vote, my fellow Americans. Think about the value of your vote. And you will vote, will you not? You must. You must vote for the best candidate, no matter what you think of them personally, either Clinton or Trump, for one of them will be your president. In the words of Bob Duco, a stalwart CBC conservative spokesperson, we can either focus on what's wrong with a person, as the media has done so often and so frequently in the last 6 months, focus on their faults and shortcomings, says Duco, or we can choose to focus on what they do right. You know, he's right. That's absolutely the way it should be. What do we focus on? What's wrong with them? Or what they can do and will do right for America? Duco concludes that Trump will do more things right for conservatives and Christians than Clinton. I think we should get behind him, Duco says. That is, Trump. Get behind him, because he will do more for conservatives and Christians. What do you think? There are for him and others qualities, decision-making ability, and promises in behalf of Donald Trump, which trump Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. Duco and so many others think we should vote for Donald John Trump. Although Trump is far from perfect, come on, we all know that. Perhaps indeed he is the better of the two candidates, at least for conservatives and Christians. So, how will you vote? Every presidential candidate and every president, in fact, has been far from perfect in so many ways. Some better than others, but all have compromised, and all have fallen short, and all have failed in key ways to do what was promised. Like it or not, you will have an America in large part through the decision-making of Donald John Trump or Hillary Rodham Clinton. I remind you of that again and again and again. Your choice, my fellow Americans, your call, your vote. And you will vote, will you not? Oh, you must. You must vote. America needs your vote now more than ever. Count it as both a privilege and a duty to vote for the candidates you think are right for America. Thank you for listening and for voting. And God bless you, and God bless America.